Today's lesson is entitled The Adventurer's Sacred Oath. And today, I'd like you to take a step onto sacred ground. There's something about visiting a cemetery that makes you stop and reflect on our mortality. We see the headstones. Just recently, my wife and I were up in the Smoky Mountains, and there were cemeteries that were left as part of the national park there, and they were usually next to churches. And you'd go and you'd see a gravestone of somebody that lived a decent length of life, and then you'd see a toddler next to them or a baby next to them, but all different lengths of life that were represented. And it causes you to pause and reflect on the brevity of life. And so in today's lesson, as we look at our beginning with the birth and design, and you move through it with our past, present, and future, and in the midst of the present there is our pursuits, and ultimately there is death and the legacy, and what have you left? It is good to look to the end of our lives, and that makes so much of what's in between make sense. And so let me ask you, have you ever done that? I know some people think that's morbid, but instead of waiting till a funeral, stop and think about that. What and where am I going? What am I doing and where am I going? And what's the in-between there? What's the hyphen on the gravestone look like? Because there is an eternity. There's a destiny. And it's good to stop and ask those questions. It's good to stop and reflect. And so as we think about this adventurer's sacred oath, it is this: I will fervently live my life according to my design with the end in mind. Let me repeat that for you. I will fervently live my life according to my design with the end in mind. Back in the 80s, Olivia Newton-John had a song entitled Let's Get Physical. I'd like you and I to stop for a moment and let's get metaphysical. Let's get deep. Let's get philosophical. Let's stop and think about important things, because that helps us in the everyday. You don't have to do it all the time. Some people, they don't ever want to do it, but it is a good thing to stop and do. Some people like to do it all the time, and we'll leave that to them. But this word metaphysics, because there's stuff beyond the physics of life. There's stuff beyond matter, the immaterial. And so metaphysics equals peripheral vision. And so even as a running back is making his way through the line and he's got his optical vision right there in front of him, there's something of value to see peripherally. I'll tell you one thing, it would keep you away from being a person that is going to get hit. You could avoid that more than the person who never has any peripheral vision. So there's actually, our world has two metaphysical views of life and death. The first one, we could put on the left in the columns, and it's the traditional religious worldview. And number one, it says human beings are the less derived from the more. And so we are people that aren't that big of a deal, and there's something more out there, and that more we know of as God. Then on the other column, there's the secular scientism worldview. And instead of saying science worldview, because sometimes that puts religion and science in opposing places, there we will call it scientism. So the secular / scientism worldview. And number one, it says human beings are the more who have been derived from the less. It's almost like the whole idea of we are the greatest, and that we're the highest point in all of the universe. And we know, if you believe in God, that that isn't the case. He's greater. But outside of God, that's the worldview. So back to the traditional religious worldview, we go to that point number two, assumes what we can see and measure is secondary to what we cannot see. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says this, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we know that there's something even more real than what we see that's out there. We're aware of it because of the scripture. The secular scientism worldview, number two, assumes what we see and measure is primary, if not exclusive to any other reality. And we just know that based on observation, what is real. And so the other we wouldn't think of as important. Well, point number three, or number three under the traditional religious worldview, allows for the fulfillment of one of the strongest desires and anticipation of the human heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And so there's something in us that knows there's an eternity. C.S. Lewis hits on that in Mere Christianity. He talks about the fact that for every desire that's in the heart of man, there's a response. For hunger, there's food. For sex, there's sex. For this, there's that. But there's also this, that must be something more out there. We know, we just know it. And so God has placed that into our hearts. And so we look forward to that day. And that gives us, the traditional religious worldview gives us that. But point number three under the secular scientism worldview, it denies the fulfillment of our heart's eternal longing. And so death is the grim reaper. It's the final destination. There's nothing after this. And so that's very frustrating. But for people that don't want to own a religious or traditional worldview, that's where that leads. Point number four, it points to a meaningful, this is under traditional religious worldview, it points to a meaningful continuance to our lives after death, and to those who believe a happy continuance. So there's something more, something continues beyond death. And for the believer, it's heaven. And that's a good thing. But number four, under the secular scientism worldview, it points to a meaningless ending to our lives at death. It's the Shakespeare Macbeth soliloquy. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day, and all our yesterdays as lighted pools, the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life is a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hours upon the stage. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And so, without God, it's meaningless ending, signifies nothing. Well, lastly, under the traditional religious worldview, number five, it's embraced by faith. You believe it by faith. And number five, under the secular scientism worldview, it's embraced by faith. So both of those things take faith. It's what you want to put your faith and trust in. And there's four choices. There's number one, if you remember what Porky Pig would say at the end of the Looney Tunes cartoon, that's all, folks. It's the dead end option. There's nothing more after this. That's an option. Number two, it's not the end, but everything will be okay. It'll be okay for everybody. And this we could call the blind optimist option. It's, yeah, things will work out in the end. Why do you think that? I just do. And you'll hear this sometimes at funerals. Oh, Uncle Joe, he's up there and just enjoying time with Aunt Marge. And Uncle Joe never went to church. Uncle Joe never had any interest in things of God. But for some reason, he made it to heaven. And because everybody makes it to heaven. Because we want to believe that. The Bible has some things to say about that, but that's the blind optimist option. And number three, it's not the end, but I'll be okay. And that's the I'm good enough option. So it may be everybody else has a problem. A bunch of people believe in hell, but I'm not going there. Well, what are you basing it? Well, I'm a good guy. You just ask anybody. I'm a good guy. And lastly, it's not the end, but I'm uncertain and uneasy. And that's the I need help option. So it's that's all, folks, or it's not the end, but everything will be okay, or it's not the end, but I'll be okay, or it's not the end, but I'm uncertain and uneasy. And that's probably the best way to be. No, that is the best way to be. And so that would mean I'd have to find out what is the option. What is? Who's going to help me? Well, some final thoughts. An adventurer always lives with the end in mind. An adventurer always lives with the end in mind. It helps you. If you know where you're going, that helps with the path that you're taking. And only with clear and decisive view of the end can we, first of all, pursue life with a balanced and healthy perspective. Secondly, leave behind a satisfying legacy. And thirdly, be ready and confident about eternity. Let me repeat those for you. One, pursue life with a balanced and healthy perspective. So only with a clear and decisive view of the end can we pursue life with a balanced and healthy perspective. Or two, leave behind a satisfying legacy. Or three, be ready and confident about eternity. Because B, man has never done well when his belief goes no further than his life. They found that to be the case. That's in every culture. There's no religion. We only rise as high as our religion. And if our religion is a low religion, we're not going to rise very high. But if we've got a holy God, that has a huge impact on culture. And then letter C, avoiding conclusions about the end is essentially a vote for a now-only lifestyle that eventually dead ends in frustration, unnecessary regrets, and fear. And D, if there's more to this life than death, we should do all we can to understand what's next. Let me ask you some questions. Practically, how would you like to finish this life? And then would you be willing to share two dreams you have for your life with someone? And how are you living your life right now in light of those dreams? And then a second question is, what is the one thing you personally believe about the end of life? And then why do you believe that? These are good questions to ask as an adventurer on the road.